Bruce, would you like to read 1 John 4, 7 through the end of the chapter?
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. We love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also.
Okay, the subject is love, the subject is God, the subject is our salvation. And in this, it says twice in this chapter, that God is love. That's what he is. He is also just, he's also merciful, but in 1 Corinthians 13:3, things abide. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Something never fails. That's love. Because that's what God is. It tells us also here that this is how he expressed his love for us through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, love is, and love is expressed. And love is expressed by giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. Didn't say, for God so loved the world that he took, he gave. So, what he is and what he does. Now, it tells us we love that version. Says we love him because he first loved us. Our love for God is a responsive love. It did not originate with us. It originated with God, and it bounced back to him. He gave himself to us, and we love him because he first loved us. Now, it tells us how we can know these things. One of them, it's not by saying, I love God. Unless you back it up by loving your brother. If you don't love your brother, then you're lying when you say you love God. It's just not true. You cannot love God by saying you love God. Okay, let's look at Matthew 22, verse 37. Verse 35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You can just do away with the Old Testament. if you know these two things and follow them. Love God and Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And 1 John said, if you say you love God and do not love your brother, you're lying. All right. The subject is loving God. The subject is God loved us first, but our response is what I'm talking about today. God loved us with everything. There is no greater love than is expressed in the death of Jesus Christ. He's telling us that we love him with everything. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I spent 11 years in the Navy, and part of it in war. And in the war, part of the whole system is glory, medals. And it's not just carnage, a lot of that, but they overcome it. People get the Bronze Star, the Silver Star, the Navy Cross, the Congressional Medal of Honor for the higher ones is something above and beyond the call of duty. We have recruiting officers, where the recruiting officer or recruiting sergeant is a first a very top man. They don't get slouches to recruit. But he also learns how to make it sound like it's all glory and pretty uniforms and visits to great places and a good education and money. And so this student volunteers and is enlisted. And to get him to volunteer, they have all these promises that were made to this young man. And he enlists and he finds out that has now gone from volunteer to obedience. He's in basic training. And all the system completely switches. Okay, there's something below obedience. That's getting the person to volunteer and submit himself into this boot camp. Now, he's not told everything that goes on in boot camp at the recruiting station. There's something before obedience, and there's something after obedience. Before obedience is the recruiter. After obedience is the Congressional Medal of Honor, above and beyond the call of duty. Well, I make this comparison because of this statement here. How do we go above and beyond the call of duty in this one? We love the Lord our God with all our heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Everything of everything. And yet love with everything. Do we get any extra rewards, or are we disobedient if we violate this? This is the first and greatest command. Not doing it would be the first and greatest sin. Second one's like it. Love your neighbors yourself. Now this act of love is not only, I'm going to do some circular talking here. Jesus said in John 15 verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. And I guess I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 15 of chapter 14, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Here's what I meant by circular reasoning. He said, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, obey me. Well, then he said in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. If you love me, obey me. And obeying is loving. If you love me, love me. If you obey me, obey me. It makes almost an identity between love and obey. Now, on the whole, we have not had, the word obedience has not had a good reputation. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Volunteer has a better reputation. Is that true? But Jesus didn't say, if you love me, volunteer. He said, if you love me, obey me. The greatest expression of love is obedience, and the greatest expression of obedience is love. This is the relationship between the Father and the Son. The Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. Living in love is living in obedience. Many years ago, when Evan and Douglas were in junior high, I had a junior high Bible study. And we were studying Luke 17. And it says here, verse 7, suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. Jesus uses an example that when you do everything you're supposed to do, we are unworthy servants, we've only done our duty. So I said to the junior high kids, suppose there's a dirty job in the house. It's called clean the basement. And you've got by revelation that you're going to be the one that has to do it. And it's a sure thing. Now, which would you rather do? Wait until you're told to clean the basement or volunteer to clean the basement? Now, you're going to end up doing it either way. Which would you rather do? What did the kids say? Volunteer. Now, why would you want to volunteer? Well, you get credit for volunteering and you get no credit for doing what you're told. So that's what it says here. No credit for doing what you're told. And Doug said, well, that's not the worst of it. He said, I'll be reading the funny papers. Recognize I'll be finished with the comics in about 5 minutes. And after that, out of love for my mother, I'm going to volunteer to clean the basement. But before I finish the funny, she comes in from the kitchen. She said, Doug, I want you to clean the basement. I want you down there in 5 minutes. He said, she just ruined it all. I said, what do you mean ruined it all? Same mother you love, same dirty job, and same 5 minutes. When you volunteer, you get to obey yourself and take credit for obeying yourself. When you obey, you have to obey somebody else. The greatest expression of love is obedience. The greatest expression of love to the Father was Jesus Christ's obedience. Greatest expression of love to God is obedience. Okay, but because we have a poor view of obedience. In other words, we obey because of the punishment if we disobey. So we don't even think of glad-hearted, willing obedience. We only think of reluctant, foot-dragging obedience. We don't think of more eagerness in volunteering in obedience. Well, this way Jesus speaks of it. He calls it the love. Now, this love, is it emotional? Yeah. It's certainly not sheer, okay, I love you, God. I'll do what you tell me. No. There is an emotion, and there is a will. They are tied together. When we receive Christ, we receive the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. And then we're commanded to put these fruit into action. Love your neighbor, love your enemy. But it's not out of nothing. In other words, if I have no love, and the scripture tells me to love my enemy, not a possibility. But I've been given this love from God, the fruit of the Spirit. So I have the character of God in me. And when I obey God, I obey with this character. So, okay, I know I've received the fruit of the Spirit. But this guy over here that sticks in my craw, I can't stand him. Am I supposed to love him? I'm supposed to love my wife. I'm supposed to love my neighbor. I'm supposed to love the brothers. I'm supposed to love my enemy. All with this same kind of altruistic giving love that was given to us when we received Christ. So we do have it. The non-Christian, it would make no sense to. The Christian makes some sense, but we still don't know how to implement this love for God and for people. But we've received it, or we wouldn't be Christians. Many years ago, I was in the Far East off and on for maybe 4 out of 6 years. 1950 to 56. And the ship had come into port, Yokosuka, Sasebo, Hong Kong, Manila. And who would meet the ship when we were there, arrived? The mayor? No. 10,000 prostitutes. They were there. Well, I got a bad attitude toward these women because I'd witnessed to the men on the ship and they'd come back having been with a prostitute. Well, I'd really give it to the guy and these men, but I also ended up with an attitude toward these women. And it was hard to shake it because I was out there from 4 to 6 years. And one day, the ship was in Hong Kong, and the wife of the missionary that had performed our wedding, I think she's out to the carrier for dinner. He, David Morkin, was preaching in the Philippines, and I think she came out to the ship. And I don't know that I told her about the prostitutes, but I told her that there was a certain group of people that I did not love. And if they were loved, God would have to love them some other way, because I certainly didn't. And yet from the time I was converted, I saw my love increase for people. The first one was my roommate. He wasn't lovely, and I loved him. He didn't change. I changed. I saw my love increase until I met this brick wall in the Korean War. And she said, Jim, you've got it all wrong. This isn't optional. You're a Christian. You're to love your enemies. You're to love your brothers. You're to love your these. These are evidence that you love God. Well, I didn't debate with her, but I got back that night, my stateroom, and I debated with God. I knew she was right. I knew the scripture. And I argued with God, I don't know how long. Long enough to remember the event. And it went something like this. God, I'm to love these people. I don't love them. What am I supposed to do? Fake it? What am I supposed to do? Pretend it? Do I crank it up? How do I? And I still met this command to love. And I couldn't disobey, and I couldn't obey. And the conversation was going like that with God. And finally, this word, I won't say it was a voice, but it occurred to my head. Well, do you admit that you do not love these women? Oh, yeah, God, I can admit that. Well, that's just sin, and sin is forgivable. Why don't you admit it to me in repentance? What I'd been having the argument with is that I didn't know how to love God on top of 6 years of unlove. It's like telling somebody who has lied for 20 years, he says, okay, don't lie anymore. Now, that wouldn't be a possibility unless he was forgiven for the 20 years of lying. So, I said, okay, God, I can do that. And I repented of 6 years of unlove for these people. That did not make me loving, but it did make me clean. All commands are obeyed volitionally. I mean, if it's obedience. We obey by will, but we don't obey by willpower. Willpower, loving by willpower isn't loving. So, confessing the sin got me forgiven. But it did not make me loving, but from a clean position, a forgiven position, I could now choose to obey. And it wasn't a contradictory. I could choose to obey, and God provided the love. He'd already given it to me. When I got forgiven for my sin and then chose to love, well, that truth I learned then, I've been implementing every week since then. Because every week I meet somebody unlovely. And a few weeks ago, a few months ago maybe, a woman came to see me and I was telling her how to love somebody. She said, easy for you to say, you love everybody. I said, you think that happened naturally? No, it didn't happen naturally. I will have an instant attitude about somebody that's not a positive one. I will hear myself doing it, and I will confess that sin right away and choose to love that person right away, and God will provide the love, and they will never know I had that other attitude. All right. Our ability to love comes from God's love expressed to us. We love him because he first loved us. And we love everybody else because he first loved us. Having received this love and been forgiven, and then we run into these situations where we can't put it into effect, is because we have clouded up, we've filled our hearts with sin, and we can't implement these fruit of the Spirit until the sin's forgiven. Each of the fruit of the Spirit is also commanded. We're commanded to rejoice in the Lord always, but sin in the life keeps us from doing this. One day, this was many years ago, I was speaking at a Trinity Methodist church, And on this subject, how to love the unlovely. And as one woman put it into effect and saw the miracles take place in her life, she wrote me a letter. She said, next time you come here, I want you to teach this subject in my living room. And she brought all the neighbors, and all the neighbors had tape recorders. Because she had been given tapes out of the first talk and saw the change when you love somebody and it was genuine love, how the love came back. Okay, now it's a command. It's responded to willfully, but willfully with the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you crank up by sheer willpower. You can't do that. So the fruit of the Spirit is an emotion. All of those fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kind, those are not intellectual concepts. They are experiential concepts. Let's look at John 13, 34 and 35. We didn't touch it, but John 3, 14 says, hereby we do know, we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers, and we love the brothers because we love God, and we love God because he loved us. So that's an evidence that we've passed from death to life. Not only is it an evidence that we've passed from death to life, our new love for the brothers, but it's an evidence to everybody else that we've passed from death to life. John 13, 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Not only am I assured of my salvation if I love the brothers, but the whole world is assured of my salvation because I love the brothers. One of the major criticisms of Christians by non-Christians is that Christians do not love each other. They fight. But if we loved each other, it would be it's just prima facie evidence. This is the character of Jesus. By this all men will know that you're my disciples. You look like Jesus. We must be followers of Jesus because we love each other. Okay, now I've combined quite a few things together because the scripture combines them together. God loves us. Death and resurrection is his expression of love. We then receive it, can return it. We can give it to the brothers. We can give it to our neighbors. We can give it to our enemies. And all these things are commanded. Secondary results, we know we're saved because of it. Everybody else knows we're saved because of it. I started to make this point a while ago when I said that obedience doesn't have a good reputation. It's not a good word. But if I can equate it with love. Love is a good word. But we think of love as something we fall into. Something just happens. It happens when we receive Christ, but it's not that kind of love. It is, if you love me, keep my commands. And the command is to love. So it's, in effect, say, if you love me, love me. This is, it makes a good definition out of the word obedience. It's almost synonymous with love. It isn't the same, but it's the first command, it's the second command, and several other commands. God provides it. He provides the character. So when we think in one of these subsequent sessions, we'll probably talk on the closeness of obedience to faith. Obedience is very close to faith. Obedience is very close to love. Questions? Tim.
Big struggle unpacking this topic here. Loving God is one of the big reasons why I started coming. I just figured I'll take all of them since I have this time. But this may be something I need to talk to you offline.
Okay.
But there have been Christians throughout time who just have not had a love for God at all. You know, a lot of the hymns in modern day hymnals were written by a man, I can't tell you what his name was, but he was a hyper-Calvinist, had no love in his heart for God, and was just considered himself damned for eternity.
He considered himself that way.
Yes, he considered a very, very sad, depressed person his whole life, but he wrote some of those wonderful hymns.
Oh,
I can't remember what his name was.
I'll tell you in a minute. It was Cooper.
Cooper. Okay.
Is that right? William Cooper?
Sounds like you could be right. I believe he was,
he was depressed. He was
probably Presbyterian and whatnot.
Well, actually, he was a close friend of John Newton. John Newton was taking care of him much of the time. He wrote hymns, but he was right. He was depressed.
And I'm in the same boat there. I just do not have this supernatural love of God, and I've prayed for it, and it never comes.
Okay.
I've tasted it once. However, you know, my one saving grace is, well, it's more, a lot more than just one, is that I love God with obedience. And that's the only way I can love God, is with obedience.
Okay.
And God is at work in my life continuously.
He's what?
God is at work in my life continuously, and I can see that. That's the only saving grace I have. What do you tell someone like myself or other people when they just simply do not have a love for God? There's nothing.
Okay, it could be maybe a wrong definition of love, because we've thought of the other's definition so long.
Mm-hmm.
But the love is a different definition. It's altruistic. It's not something that ice cream love. It's not that kind of love. I think it's partly your wrong definition of love, but I don't think it's that only, because it's probably also a wrong definition of obedience. Because you're going to obey God, and that's what it says, love God by obedience. But this next hour, we're going to talk about knowing God. And that will be interrelated. Okay, let's get some private time too, okay? Because private times means I might stumble on something that clicks. That clicks. Oh, okay.
The Holy Spirit an opportunity.
Yeah. That's right. Let's thank God. Father, we thank you very much that you loved us so much to send the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. We know we all have the problem that Tim has expressed. Verbally, we all have it in part. It's not a perfect, we don't have it perfectly applied. But we'd like to understand more, but we'd also like to experience more. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.